The Unstuff America podcast is hosted by the most organized man in America, Andrew Mellon. Listen in for Andrew's take on America's clutter crisis. From guns to gold, he dives deep into America's self-destructive obsession with possession and how that impacts the American dream. Get real-life tools and strategies to take responsibility, set yourself free, and live your values every day. And now, Andrew Mellon.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Unstuff America. I am so excited today about our special guest, Dee Marshall. She is a powerhouse, and I'm so pleased that I'm going to get to share her. For those of you who don't know Dee yet, you will. And she has got a tremendous message she's going to share with all of us today about unstuffing America and really living your values every day and being powerful in the world as a messenger for self-transformation and actualization. So Dee, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here.
Excellent. My pleasure. Tell us just a little bit about yourself, just to start everybody off so that they get a sense of what do you do for work? What's your home life like? Do you live alone? Do you live with other people? So we get a sense of both the home environment, space stuff, as well as your passions.
I love this question. I've never done this kind of intro, like the back office. Everybody, I'm excited to be here, Dee Marshall. And, I wear this hat of a certified coach, author. I've published two books. I've co-written two books, and I speak all over the globe about women's empowerment, and I speak on diversity and branding. And that's the major space that I own here in the world. But my real assignment is, serving and working with women. In fact, my work specifically is I work with women who are somewhat successful but unhappy, successful and unfulfilled, or successful and in transition. And I essentially walk women through a process of, becoming who they were divinely created to be. And at that point, that is when all of the abundance begins to show up in their lives. And so that's why, coming on to, Unstuff is a topic of great interest, because I work with a lot of women in this area. So so my story is, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a business owner, and I have two offices, but I am in my home office right now. So I've got a virtual team, but just to give you some insight, I live alone with my one child. It is a furry four-legged child. and I will tell you this, I live a very orderly life, and I am a minimalist. And I did not know that until one of my girlfriends called, and she was selling a 3-bedroom home, 4 levels. And she said, I know you're a minimalist. And so then she, she said, I got to ask you some questions. So that's my back office. My dog is 5 pounds. She's hyperactive. Allergic. So we don't have like shedding. We don't have, we don't smell, the place doesn't smell like a dog. We do have a housekeeper. In fact, we just got a new housekeeper. Her name is Liliana. So she comes every other week. So she helps us to stay clean, but I basically live a very orderly life.
So let me ask you, on a scale from 1 to 10, with 1 being the least organized and 10 being the most organized, where would you put yourself on that scale?
I'm probably about an 8.
Great. And do you think you've always been an 8? Were you an 8 as a child? No.
Oh my gosh, no. In fact, Andrew, I only came to an 8 because I had a messy backstory.
Got it.
Yeah. So this is the opposite of, I was a mess. I was the one. In fact, Andrew, really, a story that brought me to tears is, one time many years ago, I had to find a document, an important document. And I remember going home to look for the document, and I had to go into closets and go through big garbage bags to find this one important document. So my condo at the time was impeccable, but the way I managed mail and paper was embarrassing. And so I remember crying on the floor, looking through this garbage bag, through bags of mail that had piled up, because I had such a messy backstory. So
And so, just so you know, paper, mail, the number one thing that everybody complains about. So while, and thank you for sharing that story, and I can feel the panic as you were ripping through those trash bags trying to find one document among thousands of documents, and also to know, just to put it in context for you and for everybody that's listening, paper is the thing that makes more people crazy and derails their sense of well-being at home and at the office than any other item. So you're in good company, for better and for worse. And it's great that, and so did that experience turn the corner for you after that, or did, or it was still a while before that, was that the bottom, or that was just a critical moment and then there was still some more discomfort along the way?
It was a critical moment. It was a bottom, but it wasn't, you know, I didn't make the shift immediately. It still took some years. I think when I made a bigger shift, it was having to, when I sold my home, it was so amazing, such an amazing experience to have to downgrade, because I had this big chunky house furniture and I was moving to this fabulous apartment that was about 600 square feet. I was ecstatic about it. And I was forced to reduce, to scale down. I wasn't even able to take some of my furniture because it was big house furniture.
Right.
So that was a defining, not necessarily a defining moment, but it was a shift for me.
Excellent. Excellent. So today, I mean, would you say that you have more things or stuff than you, even as you're in your minimalist self in this current incarnation, do you think that you still, if you take a quick scan around the space, are there things that you don't use that are still hanging out with a story around them, right? That someday I'll use this, or it's perfectly good, or I spent good money for it. Is there any of that stuff lingering?
No,
that is awesome. I'm going to ring the bell. I'm going to ring the bell for that. That is awesome.
And I'll tell you why. There's a number of reasons. So one, I adopted the habit of purging and cleansing initially when I did that move, and then it became a habit. I learned how to maintain.
Excellent.
So I do that rule of if I haven't used it in 2 years, I purge. And then I do the biannual purging. So I do an end of the year. I am, you know, probably near OCD-ish when it comes to end of the year purging. And then I do a mid-year. But I have also relocated to a new space. So that's why I could answer the question, is there anything here? No, I have now incorporated rules around not only does it go if I haven't used it or touched it in 2 years, but now if it has low energy or no energy, it goes out.
Excellent. So I'm going to take a moment and just, I'm going to bring everybody up to speed with and share this with you. This is the organizational triangle, which in earlier podcasts, we explained the principles, but I'm going to run through it real quickly. One home for everything and like with like. Something in, something out. And the first two legs of the triangle are what we use when it comes to getting organized, right? Everything has a home and all like objects live together. That's how we assign everything a proper place in our home or our office. We make sure that we know where everything is and anything that's like it is together. Makes it super easy to find anything. You can find anything in 30 seconds or less. The third leg of the triangle, something in, something out, is all about achieving stuff equilibrium, which is what you have done organically. You have done it without even knowing it. And when something comes in, something goes out. And you're already living the principle, which makes it super easy. This is the thing that folks often struggle with, because they look at the getting organized side of the equation and they are overwhelmed at the scale of what is ahead of them. And they just stop, because in that story of, I don't have enough time, I can't possibly take this on, they can't see the freedom on the other side of it. And it is so easy to stay organized once you have gotten organized, if you live by the third rule of the triangle. So you don't need a lot of rules. You just need the simple third leg of the triangle, that when something comes in, something goes out, because you've already established you have enough of everything. Everything's functional. You're not missing something. You're not missing a blender. You're not missing a toaster. You're not missing a spatula. You have all those things. So if it's a new spatula that's coming in, it must be because you're ready to retire a spatula, not because it was on sale, because it was a cool color. All of which could be valid if you decide, okay, the hot pink spatula is going to replace the old teal spatula.
Yeah.
But not just because it was so cool I couldn't leave it at the store. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you that you totally can leave it at the store. You do not need to bring it home. You can appreciate that it exists in the world and not bring it home to clutter up your life.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love it.
Well, and last week we were talking about if it's not a bargain, it's not a bargain if you don't need it. So the idea that so many people think just because it's cheap, and cheap is relative, right? I mean, but it doesn't really matter whether it's $5 or $500 is cheap in your world. If you don't need it, you could still keep the $5 or the $500 in your pocket.
Yeah.
Great. Well, so let's talk a little. I mean, I'm delighted that you are a fellow traveler in the Live Simply world. It makes it much easier to meet and to talk about time and the values that we want to be living, knowing that we don't have to spend our time cleaning up, right? I mean, and that's the message that I want the listeners and viewers to take away, is that the freedom and the liberation that I'm talking about on the other side of getting organized is expansive. When you no longer have to spend your time looking for your car keys, looking for key pieces of information, looking for your mobile phone, you get to determine how you're going to spend every minute of your day, because it's not lost in unnecessary activities, right? There's so many things that we can't control in the world that will eat up your time, and you can be much more strategic about how you're spending that time when you are not face down in that panic of, crap, I've got to get out the door. Where are my keys? Where's my cell phone? Where's my bag? Where's my other shoe? All of those things which are easily cured, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I'm a huge fan of order in the way that it brings about peace. It also brings about creativity. And even with the women that I coach, I even speak to it from the perspective of, you know, when you're trying to find passion and purpose and more meaning for life, which you just mentioned, I believe that all of the answers are there and within, but it is when we are overwhelmed with that clutter and just disorder and chaos and confusion that we can't hear. And I just believe when you get free of clutter and overwhelm and chaos and you have more white space, I call it, then you are able to tap in and know what it is that you are a call to do in life. And yes. So I draw a huge connection. In fact, I'm in a 7-week challenge right now. And we just started week number one. Huge part of the challenge is order, but it really is from a faith perspective. In fact, I think that's where we connected initially, yes. Andrew, when I just love, you know, what you do. But also just know on the other side, there's a huge faith component. And I will say that faith was also the breakthrough for me in getting, you know, order and clear and free and unstuffing, so to speak. A large part had to do with faith.
So you want to talk a little bit more about that for us?
Yeah. So even though, you know, that, remember that panic moment of going home and just being overwhelmed and having just a lot of stuff looking very good on the outside, which I know a lot of your listeners can relate to. You look impeccable. You look like you're so well put together, particularly as a professional. But it wasn't until I was able to line up my faith with a command to do all things decent and in order. Mm-hmm. And that was the breaking point. So I'm a Christian, and in the Bible, the Word of God, there's a tiny little passage of scripture, a command from God, and God says, do all things decent and in order. And that was my aha, my
got it.
Jesus meeting, if you will, that really, you like that? That was like, you got to get your shit, right? I'm talking about God and it in the same breath, but you need to get your back. I call it you need to get your back end, your back office together. And that means, or it meant for me, that you could be doing good in the world, D. You could be speaking and coaching and you have this amazing business and platform and this, that, and the other, but your back office is out of order, meaning everything in the background, your home life is out of order. So Andrew, it was that faith component that helped me to really break through. Because it's like, if God came back for you today, D, you can't talk about what great you like that if he came back and it's like, but he doesn't want to hear, you know, what good you've been doing in the world if your back office and your back life was out of order.
Well,
and
it's
that command.
Yeah, it's that command. Thing about it's about being in complete integrity, right? I mean, and it's a struggle, and I understand that we are all imperfect in our ability to manifest order and cleanliness, tidiness, and yet at the same time, there is the sense that we know where that disharmony is when you are trying to affect change in the world. You are, in fact, affecting change in the world, and yet you're not, unlike Pigpen, you're dragging that mess behind you.
Yes.
And it's a mixed message, and the world is full of tremendously powerful, effective leaders who are also messy, and I'm not casting any shade on any of those people or saying that their impact is less powerful. But imagine how much easier it would be for them to move through time and space if what you saw was literally what you got, that was it, that there wasn't also a secret mess behind them, right? That
yes.
there wasn't a disconnect between word and deed, that there was greater integrity in all of their efforts. And I feel like for all of us on the micro and the macro level, the greater alignment we can be with what our values are, the simpler and the more powerful and resonant the activities are. So even if we think about the bell, right? The bell rings clearer when there aren't things that the bell is bumping into, right? As a metaphor. It's the same thing. We can resonate so much louder and clearer in our actions when we aren't bumping into that pile of crap over there and this messy thing over here and that disheveled pile of garbage over there. And we've got the story, we've got the best of intentions, and someday, in air quotes, I'm going to get to that. Someday I'm going to tidy that up, but I'm so driven to do this thing right now that that's just going to have to wait. And I know from my own experience of the work that I've done for myself and also with other people that ballast, that drag is slowing you down.
It is.
Imagine how much faster and more efficiently you could move through the world if you didn't have that crap strapped to your ankle, right?
I think you're so right. And I do think that for leaders, there's a higher call to unstuff
yes.
and to get order. I think it's a calling as a matter of congruence, which you mentioned, it's being congruent. But I think it's also that we can't afford to not have order, because if you've got so many moving pieces, or if you're managing and leading others, it's just that you cannot afford to have clutter or overwhelm or chaos or confusion. So the role essentially requires that you unstuff. Andrew, how about I'm using your words here? I am totally...
You drank the Kool-Aid. It's awesome.
I totally drank it. I love this. So I think as a leader, now everybody needs to be in the space, but leaders, you're not going to be able to do it. And I do believe those two things that really help. It is the command. If you're a believer, that's a command of accountability. So I am now accountable to God about creating order. I mean, because I'm a better witness. But there's also the point that you made about, you know, emotion and attitude, energy, and manifesting. So if we are stuffed, then we are overwhelmed, and overwhelm is a negative emotion. And if we're in negative emotion, then we are in low frequency for manifesting. So yes. we have more than enough support to say, you got to get unstuffed.
Yes. Right on. Excellent. Well, let's talk a little bit about working out in the community. And when you think about the world as it is today, if there's one thing that you could change, if you had a magic wand, which I have in a drawer, if you had a magic wand and you could change one thing about the world today, what would it be? What regards to the difference? But well, I don't even want to put any rules on it. Just talk to me.
Well, I was going to say in what capacity, but what showed up for me is that you might be asking from the perspective of this conversation. Maybe.
Yes.
I don't know. Okay. So let's just say the first thing that came to my mind was that people stop cluttering America. Oh my gosh. That just showed up in my spirit. The first thought was stop throwing garbage cluttering America. So, And I'll tell you, I'm somewhat sensitive. I'm a homeowner, and I've gone from owning to renting and owning and renting, depending on the recession or those ups and downs, but by choice. But what I'm always sensitive to is rental communities versus owner communities, and where people, if they don't feel like they own, then you can always identify that in the outside surroundings, where people literally will place their garbage somehow on the ground versus in a garbage can. So if I had to say one thing that showed up for me in terms of changing, is just that I would want to change people mindset around cluttering America, like be kind to the earth. And so that's what showed up for me first. I've got lots of other things, but that's what showed up.
Yeah, that's great. And I will dovetail on that, because I know that even in my building, and I own my apartment in my building, and sometimes my neighbors leave their garbage in the trash room. We have a trash room across the hall from my apartment, and they will bring their trash in a bag and leave it out. There's a chute. And I think, I don't know how entitled you need to be that you feel like you can't open a chute and drop a bag of garbage down it to make everybody's life easier. And I think that, you know, without getting on a huge soapbox, I think that that is the microcosm of whatever that sense of either disconnect or entitlement, whatever it is that somehow you think you're separate from this environment that we all share, that your footprint doesn't matter. And that, I mean, whether you have children or you don't have children, there are people that are coming after you that need to be here, not to mention the quality of your own life living among garbage, but certainly the idea of any sort of a legacy, if you have any consciousness or any mindfulness about how you're living on the planet, the thought that you would just leave crap laying on the ground thinking, oh, somebody else will pick that up because somebody else cares more than me. Well, why do you need to care less? Like, who taught you that? Where did you learn it or develop it? And how do we interrupt it so that regardless of what your political beliefs are, that you understand this is a finite ecosystem that we all share. There are many things that are renewable, i.e. solar energy, as long as the sun continues to shine. Mm-hmm. We can bank on tomorrow morning someplace, there'll be some sun beating down on something and it will warm it. But this idea of everything being disposable is a bad piece of messaging that we got someplace that needs to be dismantled. Because it garbage doesn't go away.
You just spoke. I don't think there's anything else left to say. But how do we do that? Because it drives me insane.
Right. And so it is that sense of the macro is shifting the consciousness of our neighborhoods, our communities, and the micro is how do we walk among our neighbors, among our fellows, and be the example without bludgeoning people? Because believe me, fewer things kick up that sense of self-righteous rage in me than watching somebody being disrespectful, whether it's to a person or to the environment, you know, just dropping something on the ground. And it's hard to not say, excuse me, but you know, there's a trash can we live in Manhattan, there's a trash can on every corner.
Yes.
Like it is not, you are actually headed towards the corner. This could have stayed in your hand for a few more feet and you could have easily deposited it where it belongs. So it's remarkable to me that people get so lost in whatever they're thinking. And so again, on that macro level, how do we enable people to come to greater mindfulness, to more consistent consciousness around the choices that they're making, so that they're creating a mess for all of us, but they're out of integrity with themselves, right? And when anybody is suffering, we're all suffering. So how do we lift them up in a way that ennobles them and inspires them to do better?
Yeah, so I love that. So, right, I think how we do that is bringing awareness to individuals that they're out of integrity. So, for instance, in the women or with the women who I work with, I teach this from the perspective of there is a direct correlation between how you treat and manage a thing, how you steward a thing, and what you are wanting more of in your life. So that's one way that I know to do it. It's bringing awareness and then really helping people to understand. So for instance, I had a client once say that she learned in one of my classes, I was talking about how you are a steward over your space. And if your car is a mess, then how is it that you're asking God or believing God for a better car when you don't take care of you, what the one that you have? And then it was, so years later, she told me, she said, Dee, you so straightened me out about that. And it was a huge lesson for me. And at the time when she shared that with me, I was in her new car. So that's a prime example of, I think, creating the awareness for people. Because I heard you say, Andrew, like, where do we learn this? And I think some of us, it's yes, it's a learned behavior, but then some of us, we never learned, or we were never educated or informed about, you know, the universe and how we are, you know, co-creating our lives. And so I think it's the awareness, it's educating, and I can always get people with a direct correlation. You're believing for a better house, a better condo, a better job and experience, but are you managing what you currently have in a way that is kind and loving and that creates an opportunity for you to have more?
Right. And I'm thinking that, so there's direct transmission when we are in relationship with others. And then how do we, you know, without getting into magical thinking, how do we walk out in the world in a way to allow our neighbors, because they are our neighbors, that we might not know their names, we don't know anything about them, and what rises up in me is, hey, don't do that, as if I need to correct them. And yet, so I've got that feeling, but at the same time, I'm mindful of, like, you're not the boss of them, and how do you, you know, I mean, I want them to change, I want there to be a sense of container within which they can change, and yet it might not be my job, without abdicating my responsibility for speaking the truth, it might not be my job to accost them if they can't hear it in that moment, right? Because then it's just, now we're in a fight. Now we're in a control fight of, like, me being bossy and being intrusive. So how do we, and I don't know that there's an answer to it. It's not a rhetorical question, but it's something for us all to consider that as we're listening to this, how do we move through time and space representing what we believe in a way that will ripple out and have enough faith that as time moves on, there will be an opportunity for people to shift without us having to be the direct agent of that shifting, right? I mean, you and I can do it with each other. We're friends. We have a relationship. We can support each other. There's room in our relationship for corrective behavior and say, hey, FYI, I saw you doing this. I just want to, you know, if you're open to some feedback, I'm going to share this with you. And there's a container for that. But, you know, among the people in the world who are just moving through time and space, they haven't welcomed me into their world. They haven't said, hey, Andrew, you got something to say about how I'm living?
Yeah.
And so I have to be mindful of that. And at the same time, I have the desire, like, let's get go. You know, I mean, the clock is ticking, right? I mean, 98% of the climate scientists say that we've crossed a line from which we can't return, right? I mean, the best we can hope for is neutralizing some of what is already happening, but we might not be able to go back to, you know, to Eden, to some idyllic time when everything was possible. We might have to hope for some sort of mid-level compromise. But even so, the idea is, as we're moving through time and space, carrying the message, creating enough room for other people to have their own epiphany, and trusting that, you know, from 30,000 feet or 36,000 feet. I mean, I think of the Dalai Lama often when I think about this, because he says, you know, we don't have the perspective to see how karma is going to unfold.
Right.
We do what we do, but we don't know the end game. And so being a force for good in the world, and yet at the same time, letting go of the outcome.
Yes. So you brought up an interesting point that I have been struggling with, and that being, how do I, you know, what's the balance between seeing an offender, so to speak, not be kind to, you know, the universe or the neighborhood or the building, because I too live in a high rise. I've been in the position, but I've known that my lesson in this season in life is to hold my tongue. So that's a personal thing, mm-hmm. because I see you with your dog and I don't think, did you just pick up that poop? And so while my normal default would, I'm sensitive to it and I would want to say something, I have been in a season in the last year to hold my tongue. Mm. So I love that you brought that up because that's my situation right now.
Right.
But I will tell you, I love the question, but then how do I not, you know, I think shimmy out of taking that responsibility of there's a universal responsibility for us to all, you know, do good and be kind to the earth. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, just the example, I'll go back to the high rise. It's a fairly new space and there's a huge renaissance in the community. And I thought about, you know, just sharing feedback with the owners to say, hey, I just, you know, just interested in this, that, or the other, or, you know, I love what you've created. How do we help maintain it? So I thought posing the question about maintaining and perhaps even another idea is educating. You know, is there an opportunity for us to educate, let's just take the neighborhood or the sure. community or the building about, you know, we all live here in the kind of space that we want to live in. And then I think within that, there's an opportunity, you know, to love on people and love them through being personally responsible with the earth. Does that make sense?
Totally. Yeah. Because you just gave me a great idea because I'm thinking, you know, I'll bet that there's a community center nearby where I could go and do a workshop. So that's a way for me to be out in the world and I could just go and well, I mean, certainly I could come out by you, but I'm saying even just in my neighborhood right here in Hell's Kitchen, I could find a community center where I could give my time to people who are not my tribe, who are not already in the community.
I love that.
And I'm meeting them in their home, talking about things that are important to them. And that's the hook into popping the light bulb on for them, right? Because I came to solve a problem of theirs, not my problem, which is pick up your damn trash.
That's right.
But
that's right.
It was, you know, how do you be better organized? How do you manage this? You know, how do you navigate whatever it is, the healthcare system, whatever it is that they might be struggling with that they're thinking, oh, an expert on organization and time management would be an awesome thing for us. Let's get him in there. Sure, I go there. And then I'm also then, you know, not unlike a Trojan horse, I've got this stealth message, which is also, and by the way, you know, how do we live this in all aspects of our life? Here's a micro way to live it. And I have a platform through doing service. I have a platform to possibly change one person's mind, one person that was walking past the trash and not necessarily using the trash can. So it's a great lesson for, you know, I had a teacher of mine tell me once, you know, where can you bring more love into the equation? Because so often when that comes up for me, my feeling is, damn it. You're hurting me, right? I'm taking it personally.
Yeah.
And my feeling then is to become defensive and upset, mm-hmm. as opposed to, I'm not happy about this. How do I bring more love? And it's counterintuitive to how I've been trained, right? I mean, not necessarily maybe to the organism as if I was, you know, dropped on the earth and raised in a vacuum of love and charity, perhaps that would not be my first reaction, but that's right. Not how I was raised. So my first reaction is, damn it. You're doing something that I don't like. How in that reaction can I then say, you know what, my feelings don't really matter in this moment. I'm taken care of. Mm-hmm. How can I bring something else to this equation that would make this a better experience for me and for somebody else? How do I let somebody off the hook instead of holding their feet to the fire?
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is
I like that.
Something that, you know, you just brought up for me, which is great.
I love it because you're looking at it from the perspective of, oh, there's an opportunity to serve versus, oh, they piss me off because they're not.
Exactly.
Oh, that's one more. So every time, whatever the offense is that gets under your skin, now there's a whole paradigm shift. Like, oh, there's another opportunity for me.
Exactly.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And as long as, I mean, bringing it back to faith, as long as I can remember, right? And that's part of my practice, is reminding myself consistently, I am fine in this moment, food, clothing, shelter, completely taken care of. I have clean clothes on my body. I have a roof over my head that doesn't leak. I'm not hungry. You know, all of my limbs are mostly working. I've got a little numbness in one of my legs, but I'm also doing the physical therapy exercises to resolve that, right? So yeah. I am fine in this moment. I am not lacking of anything.
Yeah.
So really that sense of missingness, of scarcity does not need to be driving my choices. Mm-hmm. There's plenty here that I can bring to the equation. I don't need to be keeping score, particularly if it's a story in which I'm always coming up short and feeling discounted and where I need to somehow get more to feel better. Because I think that so often that's what's driving this unconscious grasping that so many people are stuck in, that is stuffing America, right? Is there's not enough. Now, granted, there are plenty of people who do not have enough. I mean, the scales are tipped against them. It is not a fair system. It is not a meritocracy. There are many people who, on a level playing field, would excel that are not able to excel because of the way some of our systems are built right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So setting that aside, though, is the idea that we can all be more mindful of, am I reaching for something that is not going to increase the quality of my life in any significant way, that if I just sit still for a minute, I can see I am fine. Everything is fine. I don't need any more. What I need is connection with people. What I need is a greater opportunity to be my values on a daily basis. Really, you know, another pair of shoes, whether they're from Payless or Ferragamo, is not going to make or break my experience on the planet.
Right?
I mean, I could have the shoes, but I don't need the shoes.
Yeah.
And yet I think when we don't remember what's important to us, it's easy to see the shoes and think, well, they're on sale. I mean, they're practically giving them away. I should just bring them home. I'll deal with what I'm going to do with them later.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's the low level conversation as opposed to the high level conversation, which is really, what do I want to spend my time doing? The clock is ticking. Again, that I feel like that simple math of 24 hours in a day, 168 hours in a week, how do we want to spend it? You know, do you want to spend it consuming stuff or do you want to spend it producing stuff?
Yeah. Oh, I love this.
Yeah. That's
amazing.
Oh, thanks. You're pretty swell yourself. Well, I think we're just about out of time. So I'm wondering, is there any last thoughts you want to leave the listeners with? Is there anything you want to inspire them to, when we think about unstuffing America and picking up the mantle, anything you want to share with them?
You know what? One of my favorite breakthrough quotes about order and unstuffing and getting clear, I'll share it with you as I'm going, because I think it's just so necessary to understand this disorder, clutter, chaos, confusion, and how it is that it so drains you know, us and steals time for our lives. But until you decide to reverse the perpetual cycle of disorder, you will continue to experience cycles of defeat and failure.
Mm.
And order, the last nugget, order is a condition in which freedom from disorder or disruption is maintained through structure, systems, and protocol. Wherever there is a lack of order, rank, or command chain, wherever protocol is not present or whenever a code of conduct is not perceived or understood, it brings about emptiness, lack of purpose, and meaning. And if your life is characterized by confusion, conflict, frustration, lack of direction, meaning, and insight, it is an indication that you are deficient in order. I associate order and stuffing and getting unstuffed with, you know, my equivalent is order. So I just wanted to leave your listeners with that, because I just think it just gives you something to chew on. And thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm just going to ring the bell for that quote. And I'm going to ask you if you'll please, after we get off the line, if you'll send it to me, because I'll be sure to put it when we post this entry. I'll post that quote for folks so they can tap into it.
Okay, awesome. I'm everywhere online. I'm DC Marshall, D-E-E, middle initial C, last name Marshall, and www.dcmarshall.com.
That is great, Dee. I hope that folks will come and find you to get more nuggets of wisdom from you. It's been just a pleasure talking with you. The more I get to know you, the happier I am. And I'm so pleased to have spent this time with you. So thank you very much.
Same here. Thank you for having me. Take care.
You're welcome. Bye, dear.
Thanks for listening to Unstuff America. If you like the podcast, the best compliment you can give us is to share it with a friend and subscribe, rate, and review at iTunes.